You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson, coming back to you live, finally, here on the 6th of March, 2019. I want to thank Laura Presley of True Texas Elections. Let's say it one more time, True Texas Elections, LLC, for being on my show as a guest host this past Monday, March 4th. I managed to catch the last half. I was at, it would have been Dulles Airport coming out of D.C. for a news trip. And I realized it was halfway through the show, so I tuned in on the listen-only line and caught Laura's last half of it, and it really even exceeded my already high expectations, the way she explained, ladies and gentlemen, the all-important matter of vote counting, not vote casting, not whether you're in the wrong precinct or an illegal alien, important as though those things may be, but whether we're actually accurately and openly counting our votes. So thanks again to Laura Presley of True Texas Elections LLC for doing that. Excuse me, I'm getting off the tail end of a cold. Even had laryngitis a bit, as I mentioned last week. It's still lingering just a little bit. And it was a bit of a problem when I did the show with Mike Robinson this past Friday. And thanks to him, too, by the way, for being on here to explain the non-Brexit that is Brexit. If you pretty much shake it out and see where the chips fall, that's what it amounts to, a kind of pseudo-independence that really isn't an independence at all for the British people. So once again, globalist deception seems to win the day. And speaking of globalist deceptions, I'll be talking more, if I can wait that long, because I'm really chomping at the bit, but I'll be talking more in the last half of today's show, ladies and gentlemen, about the new edition of Foreign Affairs, the infamous journal of the equally infamous Council on Foreign Relations. And I picked a copy of that up during my travels. And this latest edition, March, April of 2019, the main theme of it is called, quote, the new nationalism, end quote. And it's much like the new conservatism. They're trying to create a neo-nationalism. And we all know where things lead when the prefix neo is applied to many things. But we'll be getting to that, as I mentioned, and this is my afternoon tea time, a little later in the show. Now, first of all, more urgent matters are before us. Some of us may know, some of us may not, that there are a couple of gun bills on Capitol Hill from which I just returned, and there are actually two pieces of legislation here that are quite important. Now, listen in, listen closely, because it is time to take action. Yes, I know calling Capitol Hill or contacting the White House or things that I might bring up would seem to be futile sometimes, a waste of time. But there are times they need to hear from us. During the Trump era, I believe it's all that more important. Now, one of the bills is, bear with me a moment. Let me get back to the other part here. One of the bills is H.R. 8. And this bill is sponsored by Mike Thompson, a California Democrat. And we have 8 Republicans that joined Democrats in passing this bill. And there were 290 votes for the bill. So it had far more than the basic minimum of 218, excuse me, to pass the House of Representatives. Now, the reported mass shooting last year, reported mass shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, and there were deeply conflicting accounts of what actually happened at that school during the reported shooting, that prompted a lot of these student-led, media-abetted activists to actually descend upon Capitol Hill, and they were in the House chamber, and they cheered when the vote in favor of H.R. 8 cleared the 218 threshold. Now, H.R. 8 is to require background checks on all firearms purchasers, including those buying online and at gun shows. And so that's what H.R. 8 is about. Now, H.R. 8 is not the only bill for incremental civilian disarmament. Remember, it's not really gun control. We have to use the proper terminology. It's incremental, but it's civilian disarmament. When you use the actual words that reflect the actual reality, it's a whole nother matter. So keeping that in mind, besides that bill, there is the Enhanced Background Checks Act of 2019, H.R. 1112. So we have H.R. 8 for background checks on all purchases at gun shows and online, and H.R. 1112, 1112 we'll call it for short, which would extend the initial review period for a background check from 3 to 10 days. So they want background checks across the board now, online, gun shows, anywhere and everywhere, and they want to extend the period from 3 to 10 days for such checks. And that was brought forth, for the record, by House Majority Whip James Clyburn, and fellow South Carolina House Representative Joe Cunningham, with key Republican assistance from Pete King, obviously a Republican out of New York. Now, interestingly, 7 Democrats bucked party lines and actually voted against H.R. 1112. Some of them are newcomers. I don't think hardly any of them have household names. Anthony Brindisi, New York; Torres Small, New Mexico; Kendra Horn, Oklahoma; Colin Peterson, Minnesota; Ben McAdams, Utah; Jared Golden of Maine; and Ron Kind of Wisconsin. And Republicans Brian Fitzpatrick and Chris Smith, Fitzpatrick from Pennsylvania and Chris Smith from New Jersey, also voted in favor of 1112, as did their colleague, as I mentioned, Pete King, who helped lead it. Now, I don't know, I'm reading these lists, ladies and gentlemen, because these might be your representatives, knowing people that listen to RBN, listen from all over the country. And as noted, H.R. 8, the other one, sponsored by Mike Thompson, the Democrat from California, had the support of 8 Republicans: Brian Fitzpatrick, who we already mentioned from Pennsylvania; Will Hurd, all the way from right here from Texas, I mean to say; Pete King of New York, just like the other bill; Chris Smith of New Jersey, just like the other bill; Fred Upton, the Whirlpool heir from Michigan, Southwest Michigan, he used to be my congressman; along with Florida Representatives Mario Diaz-Balart, Vern Buchanan, and Brian Mast. I'm trying to kind of put it all together here. That's who supported H.R. 8 for extending the background checks on purchases to online and gun shows, as I say, anywhere. So this is a call to arms, pardon the metaphor, to oppose this bill and contact Congress, oppose H.R. 8, oppose H.R. 1112. Now, before I share the numbers, now some of us have those phone numbers and they keep them handy. Others among us don't call Congress real often. We may not have or know the numbers by heart. I'll be sharing contact information in a little bit. But sharing information with you and writings from a preliminary article on this, proponents of H.R. 1112 to extend the length of the background check from 3 to 10 days, they say it's needed to close the so-called Charleston loophole. Their argument, such as it is, being that the current 3-day waiting period enabled the young accused shooter in the reported Emmanuel AME Church massacre in South Carolina in 2015 to obtain his weapon. They're saying since he had more time, or since he how would I say it? The 3-day waiting period, they're saying, was long enough to where he was able to get the weapon. So they want to have the waiting period extended, the argument goes, so passions will wear away and maybe there'll be less of a spur-of-the-moment activity to grab the gun and go commit the crime. Now, I'm not saying, and let's be fair, and let's be objective, I'm not saying that that's not possible. It is possible in limited instances where if you had to wait longer to get a firearm and you were about to engage in a impulsive action with that crime, the crime of murder, the longer waiting period might, in relatively rare and extenuating circumstances, prevent that impulse shooting. It's true. However, we have to keep in mind that we're getting information from the AME Church in South Carolina in 2015 and the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School shooting just last year in Parkland, Florida. We're getting information where we have deeply conflicting accounts of what actually happened. And when we're not told the truth and we don't have accurate information about these so-called mass shootings, we may very well, and I believe we really are, being railroaded into civilian disarmament. So it doesn't really matter if the occasional policy might occasionally do some good. You have to look at the bigger picture. And that bigger picture, being civilian disarmament, is obviously a way for those in power, the powers that be, to make some of their final power grabs and put their final lock on power into place. This cannot be denied. And although we really don't want to get to the point, ladies and gentlemen, there are economic and monetary reforms that need to happen and media reforms. The alternative media and alternative information needs to be heard by many more people so we don't get railroaded like this. Suffice to say, we need a whole host of reforms, so we shouldn't have to get to the point where our last resort to keep freedom in place and maintain and restore our liberties is to have to pull the musket off the wall, so to speak, to have to resort to armed resistance. We don't really want it to get to that point. Nevertheless, the annals of history has taught us that tyrants and would-be tyrants are always struggling and stumping for the disarmament, both intellectual and in terms of firearms, of the population. It starts with psychological disarmament, and that's the key here. There were many witnesses, several witnesses at least, at the Parkland, Florida shooting that said there was more than one shooter. And then the person accused of doing the shooting, who was, I believe, convicted, I haven't looked at the issue lately, a very hapless, confused-looking young man that looked like he could barely run a toaster or an easy-bake oven, let alone operate a firearm with proficiency and accuracy. This is the Emmanuel Goldstein. This is the face that Big Brother gave us to hate or dislike. And we were told he, of course, in America, was the lone nut shooter. America is the unchallenged inventor and purveyor of the narrative of the lone nut shooter. America owns that narrative. Well, the same thing is true, and I don't remember these young men's names. I don't commit them to memory. They weren't driven home like the names Lee Harvey Oswald, where we're psychologically induced through repetition and through propaganda to, you know, really adopt that name as the archetype of the lone shooter. So I don't have these shooters' names right impressed in my memory. I could look them up during the break, but that's not important. But in South Carolina as well, excuse me, we saw a situation where there were conflicting reports about what really happened and a lot of things that didn't make sense. I won't recount what those are right now. I had minimal time to prepare for today's show coming off the road, but there's always an ambiguity. The Sutherland Springs church shooting that I've covered much more in depth, the ambiguities are legion. And that one, I can tell you a few things. The shooter, Devin Patrick Kelly, another one of these three-name lone shooters, the same image, the same archetype, the same would-be enemy. Devin Patrick Kelly was said to have shot the church up pretty thoroughly from the outside in. before entering and reportedly killing 26 people, which is, of course, shooting from the inside out, or at least shooting on the inside. And when I looked at the church a month later would have been December 5th of 2017, the old sighting, the kind of sighting that you can't even buy anymore, was still intact and looked like it had been there a very long time. And of the old wood framing, the caulking around the old windows, which was still crumbling, clearly the building structure had not been shot up, certainly not in any significant way, from the outside in or the inside out. Old siding, a little bit of fresh paint here and there, it seemed, but old siding, and all the old framing, and then the extended part of the building beyond the sanctuary had been painted over several times. You could see fresh coats of paint over old coats of paint. You could still see the unscraped off paint, the paint that wasn't scraped off from when the new layer was put on over it. So having looked at that close up 1 month after the shooting, Sutherland Springs, Texas, not far from the RBN studios, a couple hundred miles to the south, just southeast a bit of San Antonio, we see the kind of physical situation or physical status that does not reflect what we're told happened. And yet Sutherland Springs, the church shooting, is like the Florida shooting at Parkland School and like the church shooting in South Carolina. All these things are stacked up against us as evidence that we need the kinds of gun control, civilian disarmament that Congress is passing in the new democratically controlled House through H.R. 8 and H.R. 1112. It's quite disturbing. Now, it will be kind of tricky here to get all the bear with me a moment, I'm getting a file, to get all the ins and outs, to account for all the ins and outs, I should say. The timing of these bills could be tricky. Listeners would do well to note that as of this broadcast in the Senate, we do have this going for us. Legislative approval will be appreciably more difficult for H.R. 8 and H.R. 1112. And President Trump, to his credit, appears, I stress the word appears, willing to veto both bills. We have that going for us too. Much harder to pass in the Senate than the Democratic-controlled House because the GOP does have a little bit of an edge in the Senate, and Trump appears willing to veto both bills, H.R. 8, H.R. 1112. But we cannot take anything for granted, ladies and gentlemen. So I do heartily recommend it, even if it's not your normal way of doing things. Call the Senate, call the House. You can chastise those that voted for it. You can say kudos to those that voted against it, either of the bills, in terms of the House. And those that might want to call in a little bit later to talk about this bill, or if you have questions, of course, the number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Keep them brief, but the main thing is you can call the House switchboard at 202-224-3121, or you can call the Capitol Hill switchboard at another number, 202-225-3121. One more time, area code 202-224-3121 or area code 202-225-3121. And last I knew, the White House's main number for conveying opinions is 202-456-1414. That's 202-456-1414. We do got a break coming up in a minute. But it's really important at this juncture, ladies and gentlemen, to register your opposition, if you're so inclined, against H.R. 8 and H.R. 1112. Whether the stories we're told about these schools are true or not, and I believe they are full of contradictions, much like Sutherland Springs, the schools and the church shootings, whether they're true or not, we can't let the reaction overwhelm our Second Amendment. Because remember, whether they're true or not, the action is in the reaction. That's what the psychological warfare artists at the New York Times and across the board are betting on, to appeal to our emotions, to make us surrender our reason and get the action to be disarmament as a reaction to the so-called shootings. We'll be back with more after this break.
Drown in incomplete capacity, strangers thought them all. When the fear it calls, how we drown in stylistic audacity, charge the common ground.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Stop the presses. Yes, it's live today. Your host, Mark Anderson, after a bit of a hiatus, had some news travels to do, and Laura Presley was so kind as to fill in. That's the first time I've had a guest host. I've been using rebroadcasts, and that'll happen from time to time. But expect Laura to be back on occasion as a guest host, and I'm looking for others. Just a little bit of an advertisement there. Anyway, to summarize, H.R. 8 to extend background checks to gun shows and the internet, and H.R. 1112 to extend the background check review period from 3 to 10 days are both on the slab there in Congress. And call those numbers 202-224-3121 or 225-3121 or the White House 202-456-1414. Chastise those that voted for these bills. Praise those that voted against them. If you want to know whether your congressman voted yes or no, you can give me a call. I have the roster right here. And the uphill battle that these bills will have in the Senate provides some measure of protection. And I believe we can expect President Trump to veto the bills. But we do have to look at the desperation that politicians have to say the right thing, even if it's not the true thing. The right thing being quotes around the word right when they want to get reelected or curry favor. Of course, President Trump is under a lot of pressure to try and be all things to all people for the 2020 reelections to see if he can get a second term. So that's why nothing can be taken for granted. And of course, this issue of civilian disarmament, aka gun control, would not be complete without the warning that's sometimes forgotten. But, and while I don't have the current status on this issue, I did cite this not long ago in some writings of mine and in other avenues, that the real issue, or at least something critically important to watch while they talk about civilian disarmament, is ammo control. A gun without ammo is like a lake without water, ladies and gentlemen. It's something that we're often forgetting about, putting to the side. But as I work on these articles and this commentary on this legislation on Capitol Hill, it's just a friendly and urgent reminder that we all need to look up and see what's going on and research ammo control, the apparent trend in the firearms industry where fewer and fewer companies are manufacturing firearms. There seems to be a monopolization en route taking place. I'm going to be looking that up too. I don't have the latest information on it, but I recall reading about it. And I know that ammo control and the consolidation and monopolization of firearms and ammo production is happening. Maybe a little bit up and down, maybe not a straight line ascending, but it is happening. So we have to keep that in mind. It's not just the firearms, it's the ammo in terms of warding off the erosion of our Second Amendment. And I can't help but mention before we get to the bottom of the hour as well, having had a couple in-depth conversations with my Stop the Presses videographer colleague Ron Avery out of Seguin, Texas, that it's interesting, and we got to keep this in mind, that the church shootings and the school shootings that I've mentioned that have helped inspire these bills, or at least inspire the Democrats behind them, mostly Democrats, other than turncoat Republicans, these shootings represent, as I mentioned, nebulous, unconfirmed events where we really don't know how many shooters there were, and sometimes the misrepresentation, let's just say, goes deeper than that. I won't elaborate. I think you know what I mean. At any rate, we cannot allow the attack on our Second Amendment and civilian disarmament because, as Ron so ably points out, and he's filed some lawsuits against media, he's fought some legal battles, as he so ably points out, it's unlawful to disarm the American people. It's unlawful to gut the Second Amendment. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land, so to go against the Constitution, especially something as fundamental as one of the planks of the Bill of Rights, is itself unlawful. So the veracity of the church and school shootings that we hear about is of paramount importance, because if those things are going to be used to ask us to surrender our Second Amendment even more, then we need the truth about those things. And how would we get the truth about those shootings, whether they're churches, schools, or malls, or whatever, movie theaters like Aurora, Colorado, some 4 or 5 years ago? Well, we need in-depth police reports. We need honest, detailed crime reports that tell us everything. How many spent shells were found? Did the ballistics of all the fired off rounds all match one gun? If there was more than one gun, did all those guns belong to one person? Who were they registered to, if they were registered? We need to know how many people, we need to know how many spent shells, we need to know where the bodies were found. We need confirmation that these events even happened the way we're told, if they're going to turn around and use those events to say we should have civilian disarmament. Something to think about when we're dealing with law enforcement. We'll be back with more on the CFR's new journal, or the new episode of their journal, The New Nationalism, out of Foreign Affairs, right after these messages.
Nothing novel in your fate. Christ You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And returning to Stop the Presses here on the 6th of March, 2019. Your host coming to you live, Mark Anderson. And as I mentioned before, the last half here, during the first half, I wanted to share at least a little bit of a critique of the new edition of the journal Foreign Affairs, the infamous journal of the Council on Foreign Relations, that Rockefeller and Morgan financed outfit founded in 1921, that assured that America would become an interventionist nation and the enforcer of empire. And their main theme for their latest edition is the new nationalism. Now, before I read parts of it, and some of this analysis you can also hear by going to livestream.com/Ron Avery, and you'll see, when you go to that site, you'll see a square that says Stop the Presses. And Ron and I recorded about a 48 or so minute show about this. That's audio and video. Again, livestream.com/Ron Avery. And you'll see a number of selections. Click on the one near the top that says stop the presses. Recorded this past Monday. It'd be yesterday, my gosh. No, wait. The day before, pardon me. I've been traveling too much. This past Monday, 2 days ago, March 4th. Excuse me. Anyway, what's really important to keep in mind here is that when they talk about the new nationalism, one of the key words there with these masters of linguistic psychological warfare is new. Another prefix that means new is neo, like neoconservative, the new conservative. Well, what they're doing here is they want to do to nationalism, a nationalistic outlook, love of nation, policies that put your nation first, nationalism. They want to do to nationalism what they did to conservatism. Well, what did they do to conservatism? They co-opted it. How? Well, one of the main junctures or pivot points in that was in the 1950s going into the 1960s when the phenomenon known as the Rockefeller Republicans came along. The Rockefeller Republicans, of course, made sure Barry Goldwater didn't get elected. And there was some worry amongst those in the internationalist establishment that wanted to co-opt the conservative movement. They were worried about the John Birch Society, which was beginning to make headway. It had been formed in 1958 by the candy magnate Robert Welch in Indianapolis, Indiana. And there were other movements that were trying to keep conservative in the paleocon or paleoconservative camp. The traditional Robert Taft conservative, as you might call it, was a Republican or conservative. They weren't always synonymous, but let's just for simplicity's sake say Republican conservative that was a non-interventionist. In other words, to be conservative was, generally speaking, to be anti-war. Well, for making America an internationalist empire, the enforcer of the New World Order, you couldn't have that. You had to have an interventionist state. So you couldn't have paleocons making much headway. Now, getting Eisenhower in the White House was part of the internationalist ascendancy. They were working proactively to try and get him in there, and they did. And I believe, if memory serves, it was Taft that had a chance to defeat Eisenhower. So they had to keep the paleocons out and get the would-be neocon Eisenhower in there, and they did. I don't put a lot of stock in Eisenhower's time-worn warning about the military-industrial complex. I believe there was some misdirection involved in it. It did serve to warn Americans a little bit about the deep state, but I believe there was deception involved and a disingenuousness about it. We'll discuss that another day. Be that as it may, where I'm going with this is that to do to nationalism what you did to conservatism, and that means co-opt it, of course, you have to understand what they did to conservatism. So once the Rockefeller Republicans were in there, they had to put up with Kennedy for part of his presidency. Of course, that was taken care of by the deep state. Regardless of what your theory is about how it happened, that was taken care of. And Johnson was put in there as sort of a person to kind of hold the ground of the growing internationalist establishment until they could put Nixon in. And I won't go through all the presidents, but except for the occasional bump in the road from the point of view of the internationalists, they've pretty much had their way all throughout. Nixon rebelled a little bit. They got rid of him in another way. And then the obvious part that showed their hand came when Gerald Ford moved up from vice president to president, and he picked Nelson Rockefeller to be vice president. That was the writing on the wall of where they were going with all this in getting the Rockefeller Republicans in there. They actually got a Rockefeller in the White House. That was the intent all along. So, therefore, the new conservatism became something unrecognizable to a large extent, except for a few social issues, compared to the paleocons that were in there. Now, another little aside that all adds up in explaining this is the National Review then became a flagship publication for the new or neoconservative movement. And that, of course, was run by later admitted CIA asset William F. Buckley Jr., who then proceeded to get rid of a PaleoCon fine journalist and columnist by the name of Joe Sobrin. And the purge continued in that way in the journalistic and informational realm too. So they're getting the PaleoCon and traditional conservative, including Christian conservatives, genuine Christian conservatives, out of the way. They're putting in the new conservatism, which led to the more specific neoconservatism, which is kind of a Trotskyite, let me get my terms right, Trotskyite Zionist retread, as Michael Collins Piper more eruditely put it than I. I would look to his writings for some of the greatest expertise on that whole chapter. But suffice to say, the neocons were revolutionaries, particularly when it came to geopolitics, and they would want to topple countries and enforce democracy at the end of a bayonet or the end of a gun, using American power to export democracy, something more zealous, more radical than the standard new conservatives. And that would go forward, of course, to put America not only out of the non-interventionist camp, not only getting away from non-interventionism, but becoming very, very militantly engaged in interventionism, in overthrowing foreign leaders that we don't like. Yes, that was happening before, but now it was much intensified. That's probably sufficient in the time and scope we have today to lay the groundwork for what the CFR means in this new Foreign Affairs Journal for March, April 2019, when they say the new nationalism. They want to do, again, they want to do to nationalism what they did to conservatism. And so, to co-opt nationalism, and this is a little tricky to explain, they have to get into taking concepts and playing with them, conflating different words to mean different things, making things associate together that don't necessarily associate, to begin to change the workings of the American mind through this journal, through the media that they and their associates own and control, and so on and so forth. Excuse me. And to do that, this Foreign Affairs Journal is one of the most significant salvos or shots over the bow that I've seen. Some of the authors for it, they're not household names necessarily. Jill Lepore, L-E-P-O-R-E. She's written about the New Americanism. And in fact, the New Americanism is a chapter in this special journal about the new nationalism. See, so it's a double layered thing here. And joining her, oh, pardon me, lost my page, is Kwame Anthony Appiah. And he's written about cosmopolitanism. And he's a professor of philosophy and law at New York University. We have Robert Sapolsky, who spent 30 years living around Kenya. Oh, he experiments with baboons and primates and believes that that dovetails into human behavior. He's an evolutionist, like many of these global double domes are. They believe in old earth evolutionary theories, that man is not a creature of God, and therefore the idea of God-given rights that constitutions must protect and governments must protect are really not to be found to be true, are considered to not have a factual basis. And then we have Henry Barkey, or Barkay. And he, during the Clinton administration, he worked on the policy planning staff of the State Department, and he's now a professor at Lehigh University. Enough said about their backgrounds, but these and other writers are writing about the new nationalism and the new Americanism. And it's also interesting to note that in trying to get this new paradigm to do to nationalism what they did to conservatism, these globalist double domes need to, as I say, take apart concepts and language. Another way that that was done was when Fareed Zakaria, a CFR member who at least was and probably still is a commentator on CNN, he had his own show. The name escapes me. That's how important it is. Another sip of tea here. What Fareed wrote about in the Washington Post last year when I was on Capitol Hill, I happened to pick up a copy of it when I was there for the Kavanaugh hearings. I wasn't able to make the hearings. They were too crowded and sold out. But I was there to cover Congress and at least be in the orbit of Capitol Hill when the Kavanaugh hearings were happening. But what he wrote was that we need pluralism as the new patriotism. In other words, to be patriotic, you must be a pluralist. Now, this is part of the deconstruction. This is part of the propaganda for the new nationalism and the new Americanism. Now, what that basically means is that you need to believe in pretty much unchecked immigration, legal and illegal, and have America become a polyglot nation of people from all over the world with no dominant culture, racially, ethnically, religiously, politically, no kind of dominant culture of any sort. And that's pluralism, where everybody is here from every country and there's no one point of view that's allowed to dominate. No one facet of the culture is allowed to be to have a predominant philosophy like America used to be, or maybe barely still is predominantly Christian. But these people will have none of that. They abhor distinctions, what they call particularism. They abhor distinctions of any kind. Even though they talk about diversity, they really don't like distinction. It's a real mind F you know what. And so to be pluralistic, this is the pluralism. And as long as all these people from all different countries believe in one basic set of American ideals, like the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution, and as long as they agree on all that, that's all we need. We don't need ethno-nationalism. We don't need any other kind of nationalism. Just agree on the basic American ideals, then it doesn't matter where you're from. Now, that would appear to be a good idea, and to a limited extent, that might be workable. But the problem is that Americans of a European extraction brought a particular mindset, a particular set of principles to this country, and they really were born of European thinking. That kind of intellectual class, that intellectual caste, C-A-S-T-E. And that's not a statement of one being superior to another. It's just a fact that Jeffersonian ideas came from Europe and Britain and places like that where the fertile soil for such ideas exists. And so you bring those ideas here. First of all, when you have unchecked immigration, legal and illegal, many of the people coming here don't even have time to learn in depth or with clarity the American ideals that Mr. Zakaria believes would be the only basis for his pluralism is the real patriotism. And, you know, he's saying that we need not appeal to anything else other than American ideals. Well, with that kind of immigration, you're not going to have a deep, abiding understanding of those ideas. Number one. And number two, the other key thing that Zakaria and those of his ilk are getting at is we can't have a predominantly Christian America. Therefore, we really can't have any predominant religion of any sort. Therefore, we have to have a secular, non-religious or irreligious pluralism. And that weakens things even more because, as it says in the Declaration of Independence, God is the basis of our rights. We all know that America was largely founded as a Christian nation. Yeah, there were some deists and Masons and some things that gummed up the works. But I believe the evidence is there that they believed the founders, at least in the idea of God-given rights, some of whom were Christians, some were deists and others, and they believed that our Creator endowed us with these rights. We spell them out in our Constitution, and governments are instituted among men to secure these rights. But Zakaria and his CFR ilk will have none of that. They want a secular, pluralistic order. And that order, again, where everything is equal, like if one tree is too tall, just cut down all the trees so they're of equal measure. And nothing's predominant. No ideas are better than another. And so, therefore, you would have this situation where there's an enforced secular world order where the godly basis of our rights is basically cut out. So you see where they're going with this. The new nationalism would be a godless nationalism where every country would be a polyglot representing all the countries in the world, and the distinction of each nation would be lost. And nationalism would only appeal to a very narrow bandwidth of ideas rather than the broad and rich European heritage and Christian heritage and all sorts of different facets of the roots of our principles that brought us where we are today. So national pride would be basically just a reconstituted internationalism with a patina or exterior of nationalism attached to it to make it look like it has a nationalistic hue to it. But in fact, it's just, again, redressed, retread, recast internationalism, much like the Global Cities Movement I've talked about, where they take internationalist ideas, institute them locally at the city level. City mayors believe they have powers far exceeding their city municipal mandate, and globalism is built from the bottom up rather than the top down, what they refer to euphemistically as glocalism. But if you check out Foreign Affairs, you can read the details and go to that web link I mentioned. So, well, I'll be back with more parting comments right after these messages here on Stop the Presses.
A single smile, such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them old when the fear it calls. How we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
And returning to the final segment of today's Stop the Presses show, your host Mark Anderson, 6th of March 2019. thanks for bearing with me on my, oratory, you might say, on the new nationalism and the new Americanism being called for by the Council on Foreign Relations through their infamous journal, Foreign Affairs. If you want to read it, of course, it's the March-April version. You can go online. I believe you can order it online or pay a small fee. I know that sounds rather disagreeable to get a PDF of it. And I would have liked to have gotten into the details of it today. Again, I would encourage listeners, I can't repeat this enough, go to livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, livestream.com/Ron Avery. Click on it. You'll see at the top, Stop the Presses. You click on that, and Ron and I engage in a nearly hour-long discussion, well, just shy of 50 minutes, about this. And we get into much more detail on this edition of the CFR Journal, which is at foreignaffairs.com. And some of the other titles, Blood for Soil, No Country for Strong Men. If you're a nationalistic leader, you're always a strong man, and strong men need to be toppled by the American or Western Empire. A New Americanism, as I mentioned by Joe Lepore, The Importance of Elsewhere in Defense of Cosmopolitanism, Why Nationalism Works and Why It Isn't Going Away. Now, that sounds like it shouldn't be there, but they admit that nationalistic love of country, America first, that sort of thing, they admit that it works. That's why they want to not defeat it, because they can't. That's why they want to co-opt it. False Flags, The Myth of the Nationalist Resurgence. This Is Your Brain on Nationalism by Robert Sapolsky, like the egg in the frying pan, This Is Your Brain on Drugs. And Building a Better Nationalism, The Nation's Place in a Globalized World. But this is all very, very, very tricky in terms of the linguistics and the way these things are presented. It's a real minefield. And I'll mention in passing that a couple other things that the internationalists are always having to knock down are people or figures like the late Father Charles Coughlin, the great radio priest whom I've honored on this show by playing some of his oratories. And much like John Meacham, who was the official historian for George H.W. Bush, he was this official court historian. These court historians and these journals are always throwing dirt on Father Coughlin's grave, on Huey Long's grave. They want more dirt on their graves. Anybody that in our relatively recent past framed a kind of nationalism or America First constitutionalism that was a direct trenchant threat to the internationalist cosmopolitanism, this neo-nationalism, this neo-Americanism that these CFR double domes are trying to install. So, sure enough, Father Coughlin was once again lambasted in this journal. When I first saw the journal, I thought, Father Coughlin's name's going to be in there, isn't it? And sure enough, it was. Their writings and their thinking is so predictable, as is their constant reframing of the Civil War, which of course wasn't a civil war and wasn't even called that. It was a rebellion of certain states against the Federal Union, and they felt the Federal Union was not honoring the original constitutional order. That was a big part of it. There was, of course, the cotton tariffs and other matters. Slavery was minimal at best to get more men in boots with a gun in their hand. But enough said, check out that website and that web link to hear more. And we'll see you next time here on Stop the Presses. I'm Mark Anderson.